Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, a father of five, broadcasting out in the eastern plains of Colorado in a lost and lonely world, in a wilderness where relationships and truth are gone. We're bringing truth and relationships back, my friends. On this program, we believe that there is such a thing as truth, and we believe that relationships is essential, and so we're trying to bring back covenantal relational living in the 21st century. Pretty cool stuff, as far as I'm concerned, and you read about it in the Word of God, because that's our source for truth. And we talk about a Christian worldview all the time on this radio program, just trying to get people rooted in a Christian way of thinking. And when we talk about a Christian worldview, there's a lot of confusion on a Christian worldview, what it is. Some people think it's just taking a position on a few issues out there. If you're pro-life, if you're anti-evolution, you got a Christian worldview. Hey, if you're anti-evolution, you're pro-life, you could be a Muslim. That's not necessarily a Christian worldview. I'm just saying you've taken a pro-life position on the abortion issue, and you've taken an anti-evolution position on the creation issue, but it doesn't mean that you've got a Christian worldview. Maybe you don't believe that God is the source of truth, reality, and ethics. Maybe you don't believe God is the one and the many. You believe that man is the source of truth. Man is the source of reality. Man controls his own destiny. Man is the source of his own ethics. And you still believe a little bit about this guy named Jesus, but and you believe Jesus is God. You just don't believe that God is anybody who's the source of truth, reality, and ethics. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not a Christian worldview. That's believing in somebody named Jesus is kind of God-like, but not really God, okay? Again, a Christian worldview is essential before we even talk about who Jesus is, before we even talk about the Trinity. We've got to root our thinking in the nature of God and His sovereignty and Him being the source of man's truth, reality, and ethics. When you believe that you're the ultimate criteria for truth, you're jettisoning a very basic foundation stone in a biblical worldview framework. C.S. Lewis wrote this in his essay, God in the Dock. The ancient man approached God, or even the gods, as the accused person approaches his judge. For the modern man, the roles are reversed. He is the judge. God is in the dock. Now, of course, man is quite a kindly judge. If God should have a reasonable defense for being the God who permits war, poverty, and disease, he's ready to listen to it. The trial may even end up in God's acquittal. But the important thing is that man is on the bench and God is in the dock. Ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty much the way a lot of Christians view this thing today. I heard a Christian apologist the other day say, hey, I was a really smart guy. I was a lawyer. I was trained in law. So when I heard the evidence, I was persuaded that God existed. I checked his driver's license. He didn't say this, but this is the way I interpret it. I had checked his driver's license. Sure enough, he was God. Of course, I was the one who issued the driver's license. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things we talk about on this program all the time is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is God exists and you need to fear him. That's the beginning of it all. You can't say, give me 10 minutes, give me 20 minutes. I will not fear God. As we talk about the existence of God, as I try to establish the existence of God, as I arrange my arguments for the existence of God, we'll just not fear God for about 20 minutes. While I take a moment and establish the existence of God and defend it with my arguments, in the meantime, I'm not going to fear God for those 20 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. You've got to begin. You've got to even begin with the arguments concerning God's existence by assuming God's existence and fearing Him and revering Him. Otherwise, you are a fool. You have embraced foolishness for your worldview construct. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, is we've got a lot of inconsistencies in our basic foundations. And if there's ever been a time in human history where we've got to re-examine our Christian epistemological foundations, the time is now, the time is now, the time is now. I know we survived a cheap Protestantism, a modernism in the 1800s and 1900s, now a cheap evangelicalism that's about ready to crumble and fall. We've got a wobbly foundation here. It's time to lay some concrete. Anybody want to lay some concrete? Anybody want to work on the foundations? Anybody want to develop a distinctive biblical worldview? Well, that's what we're doing today on this edition of Generations. In a moment, I'm talking to James McDonald about the Christian Worldview Conference out in the Midwest happening next week. Be back in just a moment. Stay with me.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Welcome back, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, and as I've said before, there are those who make things happen, there are those who watch things happen, and then there are the unfortunate ones who wonder what happened. And the goal of this program is to make sure you do not fall in the third category, and most likely will wind up as the movers and shakers, the ones who will affect the things that happen in the future. And the people who lead society, the people who lead their families well, their churches well, are typically those who have worldview savvy. They understand their worldview grid, and they understand history through that grid. Therefore, they understand how they fit into human history. They understand and they can discern the good guys and bad guys in the worldview conflicts that go on all the time. And hopefully that's what will result from this radio program as we air it day by day in your home or in your car. And with me now to talk about a biblical worldview is James McDonald. He's coordinating with American Vision, the Midwest Worldview Conference in Morton, Illinois, coming up this weekend. James, welcome back to our program, my friend.
Well, thank you, Kevin. It's great to be here again.
James, a Christian worldview, you're running the conference through your church there in Morton, Illinois, Peoria area. And people bandy this term around, James, worldview. Everybody's talking worldview now. Everybody. My guess is the Muslims, Mormons, everybody's got the Christian worldview, the Mormon worldview, whatever. They've got it down. But what does it really mean? What is a Christian worldview?
Well, fundamentally, everyone has a worldview, regardless of whether or not they can even spell the word. They have a worldview.
I think Francis Schaeffer said everybody has a worldview. They never know how they got it, sort of like getting the measles.
Exactly, yeah. So everyone has it. And basically, fundamentally, a worldview is the way in which we look at life and we appreciate life and we take in life and we act in life. It is the binding cord that motivates us to appreciate or to ponder or to act. And so whatever our guiding principles are, at the core of that is our worldview.
And now, the average Christian, do you think he's got a worldview?
Well, the average Christian, again, everyone has a worldview.
Yeah.
Sadly, most Christians don't even have a biblical worldview. Barna did a survey recently. Well, he does it every couple of years, and what he's finding is year on year, only about 20% of Christians in America have what he has defined as a biblical worldview.
Which is kind of a watered-down definition, as I recall. The devil exists, God is three persons, that kind of thing. I mean, it's a few propositions, and most Christians do not even agree with that.
20%, and only 9% in the general populace.
Yeah.
So it is indeed an issue, because it's impacting our society, it's impacting our churches, right, impacting our families, impacting the way Christians interact with those around them.
Okay, so what is it to have a biblical worldview?
Well, fundamentally, a biblical worldview boils down to an understanding of what we see in 1 Corinthians 3, which says, "No, let no one deceive you. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise." And fundamentally, it's this. Our belief system, our understanding of who we are, our place in history, our place in society, indeed society itself, is all bound up in an understanding of Scripture. Because at the end of the day, there is absolute truth, there is an absolute God, and He has absolute authority, and it's when we understand those things that we're able to really appreciate anthropology, cosmology, epistemology. Everything comes together when we understand that at the core of it, the core nature, is God.
God exists, God reveals Himself to us, and that has happened from the beginning. Adam was created, God stuck His hand out, said, "Hi, I'm God, you're man, I created you, now obey me, don't eat of that tree." From the beginning, God reveals Himself to man, and He expects obedience. He has a law. He has an ethical system which makes up that worldview. And I think a lot of Christians have a hard time coming to grips with that.
Well, indeed they do. And they're just like the rest of society, because just like Adam and Eve, we want to do things our own way.
Yeah.
And so we want to develop our own understanding of what ethics really are. We want to come up with our own vision of what man's real purpose is. And of course, if we can get behind, if we can stand up and say we are God, or what we're doing is helping God, then suddenly our worldview becomes key, and not God's worldview.
Yeah.
And we're the creature. He's
right.
The creator.
Right, exactly. So what do you say to the pro-life guys? Is I'm pro-life. I take this position on abortion. I just can't stand God's law. I reject God's law. I like the pro-life thing. That's my opinion. My opinion is that I think we ought to stop aborting kids. But that's my opinion. As far as I'm concerned, I think we're under grace. We're not under law. And God has no authority, no ethical authority over me whatsoever. What do you tell a guy like that?
Well, you're pointing out one of the great flaws of every other ism. All the other worldviews have their own ism attached to them. And at the end of the day, their isms always point to inconsistency. How can we say that we stand against the destruction of children in the womb and yet say there is no ethical basis for life?
Yeah.
There is no absolute authority. There is no absolute rule. If we say that, then we're inconsistent. Now, the biblical worldview is truly the only consistent worldview on the planet, that God exists, God has revealed Himself to us, and God has given us His truth. And it's our responsibility to understand that truth and to live that truth.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, when the shoe drops, I don't know if you've ever seen this with folks as you speak to them, they realize that the Bible speaks to every single thing, and God speaks absolutely authoritatively every time He speaks, and we just need to humbly acknowledge God and repent of our pride and our unwillingness to bow the knee to Christ. And I remember what pastor one time, a pastor, this is a Christian pastor, and I believe a fairly fundamentalistic Baptist approach, he came to me and said he was convicted when he realized that he had been an antinomian. He had been an antinomian. And as you know, the word antinomian means anti, against law. I was shocked when he told me that.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, it just shows that we as Christians are inconsistent.
Yeah.
We like to go to our church. We like to listen to the sermons. Maybe even we like to preach the sermons. But do they make a difference in how we live our lives the other 6 days of the week?
Yes.
If it doesn't, then we are not living a Christian worldview. We don't have a Christian worldview.
Have you ever seen the light turn on when you start speaking like this? People have never, ever thought about this. And then they start applying the Word of God, and it seems incredibly relevant and authoritative and directive. It just changes their whole perspective on life.
Well, it does indeed. What I try to help people understand is that men in and of themselves are not truth seekers, they're truth suppressors. Because as we read Romans, everyone knows about God. He's revealed Himself to us in the invisible attributes. His invisible attributes are all around us. He is there, and yet we suppress His truth and try to elevate man and seek God. And at the end of the day, we are the ones who end up being the fools.
Yeah. You know, does anybody ever tell you, man, this is really pie-in-the-sky stuff, James. This whole worldview discussion, this is philosophy. This is stuff I really don't want to get into. This is just for philosophers here. But what do you tell them? I mean, what do you tell people like that? They're sending their kids to public schools. They're indoctrinated in the worldviews of the media and the culture out there, and they don't seem all that interested in really getting down to brass tacks and understanding the antithesis and the varying worldviews.
Well, the challenge for us, I think, is as pastors, is to try to help Christians. I mean, there's two different groups. There's the people in the church, and then there's people outside the church. But the people in the church, indeed, our church is just like you've described. We're not involved in the discipleship of our children. We pass it off to others. We listen to sermons. They make no difference in the way we live our lives or conduct our business. But the problem there is that we don't understand our place in history. We don't understand that God has sovereignly ordained each person who is listening to this program today, the breath you're breathing, is because God has given that to you today. He's a patient and loving God, and He calls us to live in such a way that we make a difference for history. We are to be history changers, not just existing, not just ignoring His call, but to change history, and we do that when we embrace His call, which is a Christian worldview.
There's no room for naivete here either. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and there's existentialism, there's the existentialism dog, there's the egalitarian dog, there's the socialist dog, there's the nihilist dog, there's, you know, you name them, they're out there. It's dog eat dog, and a lot of these Christians are walking around in milk bone pajamas, which means, you know, they're going to be consumed by these things, and they are all the time. They need to understand these worldviews. They got to be able to do more than spell the words.
Amen. That's right. You have to stand and say, what would, I hate to use the WWJD here, but at the end of the day, is what does God call us to live? How does He call us to live in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation? What does He call us to do, and why? And the why is the important one that I always try to help folks understand. It's for His kingdom's sake. It's for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. We are to live our lives in such a way that we make a difference. And we only do that when we understand, our place in history, why God has given us this breath anyway. When we fail to remember these things, we're just like everybody else. Mm. We're the cogs that are being trained to serve a state of society. When we change and we say, God has placed us here for a purpose, we live as if we're kingdom changers. We're kingdom builders, and we're building God's kingdom.
You know, James, there are two aspects of worldviews that I want to bring out right now. On the one hand, you've got ideas, the ideas of the existentialists, the ideas of the egalitarians, the ideas of the Marxists, but the ideas will always incarnate. Now, you might have Christians who understand the ideas if they saw the words of the Communist Manifesto on black and white. They'd say, that looks like Marxism to me, and they identify the ideas, but they don't identify the incarnations. In other words, the ideas of existentialism really play their way out in economies, in the way that people send their daughters to college, in the way that they educate, in the way they dress, in the way they sing their music. Existentialism, nihilism, etc., manifest themselves. They incarnate in all these ways. So you can have a lot of, you know, worldview savvy people who think they're worldview savvy, but they have no idea how these ideas incarnate themselves into life. And in the end, these people who think they have some worldview savvy turn out to be the Marxists, the egalitarians, the existentialists.
That's right. It comes down to, do we not only know these things, but do we live these things?
That's right.
One of the things I'll be talking about at our conference here in a week and a half is how we pass on a Christian worldview. Because just going and reading the books and listening to the tapes and listening to a speaker or two doesn't change your life. Our lives really change when we get about the work of the kingdom, which is when we start making disciples of others and helping them understand the Christian worldview.
Yes. Well, may God give His people some discernment here. And the end result, as you know, James, is the unraveling of society. And the reason we're losing the faith, the reason we lose our freedoms, the reason why society is working its way to Gomorrah is because you have really, really bad, bad philosophers coming up with really, really bad ideas and then incarnating them in our social systems and our education programs. And before you know it, you've destroyed civilizations. Humanity is done. It's gone. And that's where we are today. So, man, if there's ever been a time when we've got to begin to restructure biblical worldviews, it's now.
It is indeed, and it's important for us to always remember that the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church, which is a church empowered by a Christian worldview.
Exactly. Hence the conference. So let's just spend a minute or two talking about the conference that you're sponsoring down in Peoria. Talk to us.
Well, we've got Gary DeMar, of course, with American Vision, Joel McDermott with American Vision coming in. We're excited that R.C. Sproul Jr. is coming in as well. My good friend Kevin Swanson is going to be here. And then my wife Stacy and I will both be giving talks as well. We have a packed house. Nathan Clark George, who is fabulous on the guitar, is coming in to bless us. It's going to be a great time. It's a great time of celebration, a great time of fellowship. And Lord willing, people will go away changed.
Yes, and American Vision's done some great things, and I know they sponsor multiple conferences around the country on biblical worldview, and I'd recommend their stuff, AmericanVision.com, for the website on that. But the goal of this, James, I mean, what are we after here? I mean, obviously, we're sick of what's happening with our nation, with the faith. We want to rebuild these things.
Amen. But the thing is, we can't. You know, we have to start where we are. And so here we are in the middle of nowhere, central Illinois, small church, but we serve a significant area. And our prayer is that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will make a difference in people's lives, and that they indeed will become disciples of Jesus. It's not just saying, "Hey, I believe in Jesus." It's when we're a disciple of His. And so that's our hope and our prayer is that people will leave here excited. They'll go into their neighborhoods and into their communities, and they'll live the faith.
And it is exciting for 200 years, James, we're told that, you know, the Christian worldview really doesn't impact the way you live, doesn't impact your culture, your music, your politics. The faith was kind of boring, actually. It was something you just went to on Sunday, you heard a boring sermon, it had no relevance or implications in life, you had no agenda, there was anything you'd do, you just sat there and listened to a boring sermon, and it really didn't work its way out through our fingertips in the way that we live our lives. But now we're beginning to say, well, now maybe God does have an agenda here for us.
Well, I pray that is what people are seeing. You know, we've seen already in our previous national election the challenges that have come upon us because Christians don't live their faith. I think we have what we have by God's appointment, really God's judgment upon His church. Judgment starts at the house of God first. It's his hand upon us for our foolishness in allowing us to hear good sermons and yet not live them. It's time to live sermons.
And let's not make any mistake about it. We're not utopians here. We don't expect to somehow society to turn into a perfect society. We don't have sinless perfection in our lives. It's doubtful the institution of marriage will be sinlessly perfect, or education, or culture, or politics. But boy, we're called to a higher standard. We're called to sanctification, I thought.
Well, as we see in the Lord's Prayer, that it is our goal to allow God's will to live here on earth as it does in heaven.
Yeah.
And so we work to that end. And again, we're not perfect. I certainly am not. You can call Stacy. But, you know, we serve a perfect God, and He's given us His perfect word. It's time for us to really realize that this perfect word speaks to every element of life and start living that word.
Very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a biblical worldview is essential for the future, for your children, for your grandchildren. Be sure that you root yourself in a proper worldview. Get good training. We recommend American Vision, but we recommend also the Midwest Christian Worldview Conference coming up next week in Peoria, Illinois. More information, AmericanVision.com. James McDonald, thanks again for joining us on Generations. We appreciate your ministry and your work.
Thanks, brother. It's good hearing your voice.
And ladies and gentlemen, I can't overemphasize the importance of being sure that you establish a good biblical worldview. If there's ever been a time you need to do it, it's right now. As our social systems are beginning to crack, as our epistemological systems begin to fall apart, as our education systems are running into troubles, right now it's time for us to go back to the Word of God and relay concrete and ask, what does God have to say about these things? Let's assume the authority of God's Word in these areas. And let's apply a biblical worldview to the way that we live. That's one reason why we have our own website, kevinswanson.com, where we provide some tremendous worldview resources. Check it out. And don't forget to check out our brand new Biblical Economics 10-part DVD series. These are great videos of the inspiring messages that came out of the historic conference last month that we held here in Castle Rock, Colorado. We are trying to rebuild a brand new socioeconomic system from the bottom up, friends, based on a biblical worldview. We're talking about a biblical economic system applied in education, mentorship, social security, care for parents, politics. We bring out the biblical concept of freedom. All of these things are important, I believe, as we continue to pass a vision on to the next generation. Folks, this won't happen overnight, but you've got to have the right resources. You've got to train your children in the right way of thinking about these things. That is a biblical worldview. Folks, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. You can also purchase the materials we've talked about at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Christian Home Educators of Colorado invites you to the Homeschool Day at the Capitol. On Friday, April 16th, join homeschooling families from around the state as we focus on this year's theme, Heritage and Hope. Take part in events centered on mining Christian nuggets from Colorado's history. Come to the noon rally on the west steps of the Capitol. Keynote speaker is Bill Armstrong, former U.S. Senator and President of Colorado Christian University. Support homeschooling freedoms that Colorado families have defended for over 25 years. It's all on Friday, April 16th. Other activities include workshops for all ages, Capitol tours, and home education displays in the rotunda. Students may also register for the Future Statesman's program and art contest. Join us for the annual Homeschool Day at the Capitol on Friday, April 16th. Workshops are at the Pillar of Fire Church, located one block south of the state capitol in Denver. Register online at chec.org. That's check.org.